askair.com.
This is KMXT Kodiak 100.1 FM, streaming live on the web at kmxt.org. We're heading into the noon hour. We got the midday news report coming up, followed by the Island Messenger and the Bunker. Let's check in on the weather right now. It's 64 degrees in Kodiak. It's going to be another beautiful, beautiful day, so get out and enjoy it. Let's check in on the fishing report. Saltwater fishing. Coho fishing in saltwater has been as good as ever since last week. Hotspots are the Fingers, Chiniac, Ugak Islands, but you know, really they can be caught nearly anywhere at this point. King fishing has been a little slower, but likely only because of the number of cohos around. So look to more offshore places like Cape Chiniac, Cape Greville, and Ugak Island for more consistent king fishing. Halibut fishing has been great as well, with lots of fish in the 40 to 80 pound range around the Kodiak Rocks. Chiniac, also hot spot. Lean cod fishing has also been excellent, though many small fish have been caught recently near Buoy 4. For larger fish, for places like Williams Reef, Calson Reef, Triple Lumps. And for the lakes, late summer's an awesome time to fish lakes in Bell's Flats, Arl, Caroline, Sicily, Lee Lakes out there. Caroline and Sicily have some good spots for wading or fishing from the bank. Well, we've got headlines coming up on the Midday Report. Kodiak 17th case. Free Mask Monday still going strong. Car crash in Petersburg leaves 4 dead. Alaska Seaplanes is taking over some of the Raven routes. Those headlines and more coming up on the Midday Report after the national news from NPR.
Live from NPR News, I'm Lakshmi Singh. About 12,000 American troops are slated to leave Germany, alarming European leaders worried about Russian aggression. The Pentagon says it'll eventually bring more than half of these U.S. forces back home and relocate the rest to other NATO countries. It's in line with President Trump's longstanding protests against Germany, which he says isn't paying its fair share into the NATO alliance. But as NPR's Tom Bowman reports, defense officials say the relocation's a strategic decision.
The reduction would amount to about one-third of all American troops in Germany. Defense Secretary Mark Esper says some of those troops would be shifted to Italy and Belgium. Others would rotate into Poland. Esper said some of the moves could begin within weeks, while it could be years before the entire plan is realized. Still, Esper and other defense officials described it as a concept and said more planning is needed, adding that the moves will cost billions of dollars. Esper said the planning has been in place for months. He declined to address President Trump's linkage of Germany's lack of NATO payments to the troop reductions. Tom Bowman, NPR News, Washington.
Making a rare appearance in front of Congress, the CEOs of Amazon, Alphabet-owned Google, Facebook, and Apple came under scrutiny today from the House Judiciary's Antitrust Subcommittee. The tech firms, which are NPR sponsors, strongly defended their business practices, saying they themselves face fierce competition from companies in China and elsewhere, but they were facing skeptical lawmakers. Some allege they suppress conservative viewpoints. Others call them monopolies who stood to emerge from the coronavirus pandemic even more powerful. Democratic Representative Pramila Jayapal of Washington State put it this way.
The whole goal of this committee's work is to make sure that there are more Amazons, that there are more Apples, that there are more companies that get to innovate and small businesses get to thrive.
Earlier in the day, Jayapal tweeted, "Wear a damn mask," her reaction after she and others on the House Judiciary Committee found out today their Republican colleague, Texas Representative Louie Gohmert, had tested positive for coronavirus and was not wearing a mask during yesterday's hearing with Attorney General William Barr. The Federal Reserve is promising to use its full range of tools to support the economy during the pandemic. NPR's Scott Horsley reports on the Fed's move today.
The Fed's rate-setting committee voted unanimously to leave interest rates unchanged. In a statement, the Fed acknowledged the tremendous human and economic hardship being caused by the pandemic. Officials say the outlook for the economy will depend significantly on the course of the virus. While economic activity has rebounded somewhat since the spring, it remains far below its levels before the pandemic. Weak consumer demand and low oil prices have kept inflation under the Fed's target rate of 2%. That leaves plenty of room to hold interest rates at rock-bottom levels. Scott Horsley, NPR News, Washington.
And we've learned death toll from coronavirus has hit 150,000 in the U.S. This is NPR.
Ang NPR Balita ay hatid sa inyo ng Providence Kodiak Island Counseling Center. Para sa kaukulang impormasyon tungkol sa aming mga serbisyo, tumawag lamang sa 481-2400.
Kodiak's COVID-19 count has gone up by one more case, the first one in 2 weeks. That brings the total number of cases in the Kodiak region up to 17 people. The Kodiak Emergency Services Organization says this latest case is travel-related, but involves an Alaska resident. It says it will provide more details at tomorrow's community update, which you can hear right here on KMXT right at noon. The Department of Health and Social Services say a contact investigation is underway to ensure that the person remains in isolation and is under self-care. Out of the 17 cases, 9 involve non-residents. Only one case is active. The rest are recovered. Half of those testing positive in the region are between the ages of 20 and 29. Well, it's been dubbed Kodiak Business and Brews, a Zoom meeting where you raise a glass of locally brewed beer. During this virtual gathering, the Emergency Operations Center will discuss COVID-19 economic mitigation plans and what they mean for Kodiak businesses, as well as possible mask requirements. Participants are asked to head over to the Island Brewing Company to pick up their favorite beverage so they can toast the start of the meeting, which is hosted by Ben Milstein, the owner of Island Brewing. He's expected to announce plans to reopen. Currently, customers cannot come into the brewery. They've had to drive up to the window to buy their beer. The Business and Brews meeting starts at 5:15. That is tomorrow, Thursday afternoon. Free Mask Monday outside the Kodiak High School is turning out to be a big success.
Do we have a limit of 3? Okay. If you need more than 3 for your family, you can give this a call here.
Mark Ignacio and Cece Esparza are from the Kodiak Arts Council. They volunteer to hand out masks for the Kodiak Emergency Operations Center every Monday from 11:30 a.m. in the morning to 1 in the afternoon. And Cece does it in style. She wears a purple mask to match her purple hair.
I like purple. If I could buy everything in purple, I would.
There must be something about the color purple because Cece gives away a lot of masks.
2 weeks ago, I gave out 429 in 2 hours.
Michelle Pennington needed 15 masks for Boy Scout Troop 626. She says the scouts wear them for their Monday meetings. Currently, Troop 626 is working on a first aid merit badge, and they've spent time learning about the importance of masks.
Actually, our boys are doing it because our motto is be prepared. So they're wearing their mask every time. Even when we had our car wash, they wore their masks.
The masks come in an array of colorful fabrics and patterns. There's a limit of 3 at a time, but if you need more, you can put in an order. Well, Michael Parnell was a cross-country star when he graduated from Kodiak High School in 2016. But last year, he switched colleges, switched sports, and even switched countries. I talked with Parnell about living in Europe at the beginning of the pandemic and what it was like to come back home when COVID-19 hit and to discover that he had contracted the virus. When Michael Parnell left Kodiak to attend Boise State University in 2016, he had no idea that his interests would take him to King's College in London, England, in the middle of a global pandemic.
And I went on a study abroad for half a year, and I ended up going to King's College London, because I liked the look of the school and I liked where it was. Immediately after the first week, I ended up extending for the whole year. After about a few months, I decided that I would try and stay there.
At King's College, Parnell switched majors to film studies from a double major in communications and history and joined the varsity lacrosse team, a sport he had never played before.
I picked it up pretty quickly because it's pretty similar to hockey, and I played hockey for a while here in Kodiak.
He even got his own flat with some teammates.
So we have a small flat, and it was a little rough with 3 people being in a flat with basically just bedrooms and kitchen, but we have a balcony there, luckily.
One of those teammates, though, returned from a trip to Italy in February, and that's when Parnell's cough started.
So in February and March, I had a cough that I really could not kick, but it was kind of before everything had really kicked off, so I didn't really think much of it then.
By then, Italy, a nation of 60 million, had over 30,000 confirmed cases and was recording hundreds of deaths each day. New York's death toll had exceeded 1,000, and Kodiak had no active cases yet. And it was about that time that London went into lockdown.
After he was admitted with persistent coronavirus symptoms, during the course of this afternoon, the Prime Minister's condition worsened. And on the advice of the medical team, who's moved in to a critical care.
Our Prime Minister in the UK, Boris Johnson, he actually caught coronavirus and ended up going to the ICU, and he was on oxygen. And there was basically 24 to 48 hours where they weren't sure if he was going to live or die. So I think that really helped the country kind of come together and be like, this is a really serious thing.
King's college classes went completely online, but that was actually okay for Parnell.
You have 10 weeks of schooling, of actual lectures, and then you have a month of basically independent study time. And then once you get to May, you have a whole month of final exam. So it kind of worked out.
So for 2.5 months, Parnell and his flatmates finished up school as they quarantined in their tiny apartment. Their only respite, their small balcony so they could get some fresh air, and the 1 hour of outdoor exercise permitted during the lockdown. His flatmates got very sick.
He had the fever, the fatigue and cough and everything.
These are young athletes in their physical prime who still succumb to these symptoms today, months after initially contracting the virus.
They are just recovering now, I think 3 or 4 months later. And this, one of the guys that caught it, he is like a first team rower at King's College London. And he is one of the fittest guys that I know. And he said that he could not eat without like losing his breath. He couldn't talk. He couldn't go up the stairs or anything for 2 weeks or so. So it's pretty serious.
Parnell planned to come back to Kodiak to work for the summer. After classes were over in May, he flew home and quarantined in his old bedroom. From there, he was able to reflect on the differences between how the United States and England handled their respective responses to the pandemic.
At the beginning, both nations handled it absolutely terribly because it's a smaller country and just less people overall. So they were able to do the full lockdown and stay locked down for long enough to really control the virus.
Once his two-week quarantine was over, he decided to get tested.
My friend actually texted me that she had gotten like a positive test result.
This is a friend in London?
Yeah, this is actually my neighbor. And so we figured that, or my house also figured that we should get ourselves tested.
Parnell tested positive for coronavirus antibodies. He no longer has the virus. As he looks at his peers, neighbors, and teammates reeling from the lingering effects of the coronavirus, he has this advice.
Even some of my friends now, they're just getting tired of all the pandemic stuff, but it's still a very serious threat. And I think that people really need to realize that, especially in the U.S.
Parnell is now healthy, working a full-time job, and thinking about his plans for the future that may include moving to the East Coast or even back to Europe when the pandemic is over. Parnell would like to remind his home community of Kodiak that even though there are no active cases at the moment, he believes it's still important to wear masks and social distance, as there could be undetected cases in the community. Alaska State Trooper said Wednesday that an investigation into the fatal car wreck on Mitkoff Island is continuing. The crash, believed to have occurred late Monday or early Tuesday, was about 17 miles south of Petersburg. Petersburg Volunteer Fire Department's Dave Berg described the scene on Tuesday.
When we got there, we were able to access the car by climbing down the bank, and we found 4 occupants of the car that perished at the time of the crash.
Authorities identified the deceased as 21-year-old Sigurd Decker and his 19-year-old sister Helen Decker, both of Wrangell. Ian Martin, a 29-year-old from Petersburg, and 37-year-old Dennis Lord of Elmira Heights, New York, were also killed. The 4 were crew members from 2 fishing vessels, the Magnus Martins and Vigilant, that had headed to Blind Slough on Mitkoff Island and were reported overdue on Tuesday. Bob Thorstenson, Jr., manages the 2 fishing vessels that the crew had been working on. He says the Decker siblings were close family friends that had just wrapped up purse seining on Sunday in some of the roughest weather he'd ever seen.
I've never seen a brother and sister team ever in the world of fisheries. They were like the Michael Jordan with Vanessa Williams together. That's how rock stars they were.
The vehicle apparently missed a left-hand curve and plunged some 200 feet off a steep embankment and rolled before crashing through some trees. Thorstenson says it was only by chance that the crew were in Petersburg. They had come to port for repairs.
We were losing 5 gallons of water out of our main engine, and so we had to come to town and meet a mechanic. And so that's the only reason we're in town, is we had a breakdown, and otherwise we wouldn't have been on this island with this godforsaken highway. You know, it's just that highway's gobbled up a lot of people over the years.
The four were taken to the morgue at Petersburg Medical Center. Troopers say they were all wearing seatbelts and airbags went off. They also say alcohol appears to be involved, and they're still investigating at the crash scene today, Wednesday. The Decker siblings were from a prominent fishing family in Wrangell. United Fishermen of Alaska has set up an online fundraiser. As of midday Wednesday, more than 500 donors have contributed around $70,000 for the Decker family. Alaska Seaplanes announced Tuesday it intends to relaunch passenger air service on routes formerly served by Raven Air Group, which declared bankruptcy earlier this year amid the COVID-19 pandemic. Juneau-based Alaska Seaplanes had previously put in an offer to buy the Part 121 Federal Operating Certificate from Raven-operated airline Penn Air, which allows scheduled service to rural hubs in Bristol Bay and the Aleutian Islands.
We bid on some of the assets in the Raven bankruptcy. We unfortunately lost the bid in a very bizarre auction for the Corvus and Penn Air certificates that were attached to the Raven Air Group.
That's Kent Crayford, co-owner and president of Alaska Seaplanes. After Raven canceled the auction process to sell off its assets earlier this month, Southern California-based Float Shuttle struck a deal with the bankrupt airline to buy Penn Air and Corvus operating certificates and aircraft. Crawford says Alaska Seaplanes was disappointed by the auction process, but not deterred. The Southeast Alaska commuter air carrier still intends to serve the communities that were previously served by Raven.
Instead of taking over the old Raven certificates, move operations out there under a different and new certificate.
Crayford says the airline will partner with Wexford Capital, a Connecticut-based investment firm and longstanding participant in the regional airline industry, which recently acquired a Florida-based airline out of bankruptcy.
So we're going to be adding aircraft to that certificate and serving on Alaska and other communities on the Alaska Peninsula that were previously served by Raven.
Crayford says the company intends to initiate service once it has Federal Aviation Administration and Department of Transportation approval. Alaska Seaplanes will be operating alongside Float Shuttle, which also intends to restart scheduled service on routes formerly served by Raven, with the exception of Kodiak. In September, according to Float Shuttle's Chief Operating Officer, Rob McKinney, McKinney said in a statement that the airline's new focus on providing the best customer service and experience possible will gain them a following that they can count on, regardless of what choices in air travel are available. McKinney previously led a Southeast Alaska airline, Wings, for 6 years. All right, stay tuned for Fish Radio and Island Messenger.
Today's KMXT local news is brought to you in part by Discover Kodiak, a one-stop source for visitor information on Kodiak and other destinations around the state. On the web at kodiak.org and at the Visitor Center in the Ferry Terminal Building at 100 Marine Way, 486-4782.
This is Alaska Fish Radio. I'm Lainey Welch. Alaska's salmon season is sluggish everywhere but Bristol Bay. More after this.
Fish Radio is brought to you by Alaska Boats and Permits in Homer, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs. Online at alaskaboat.com.
Alaska's salmon harvest has reached 61 million fish, with catches sluggish in every region. Although numbers have ticked up a bit over the past 4 weeks, most areas of the state are still well behind historical averages. The only bright spot has been Bristol Bay, which has produced nearly 38 million sockeyes. That's brought the statewide total to 43 million reds, off by 19% from last year's record production, but on par with the 10-year average. Cook Inlet and Kodiak sockeye catches are down by more than half, while Kodiak Southeast and some other areas will see sockeye landings through September. Less than 10% of Alaska's annual red salmon catch is usually harvested from now on. The focus now has shifted to pinks, and the next 2 weeks are typically the peak of the humpy harvest. Catches have been pretty good at Kodiak and the Alaska Peninsula, but lagging at Southeast and Prince William Sound, usually the biggest pink salmon producers. The biggest bust is chum salmon, with barely over 4 million taken so far. That's down 66% across the board, and the lowest landings in 12 years and likely more. Only Kodiak is ahead of its 2019 catches. The chum harvest at Southeast has yet to reach 1 million. Catches at the Kuskokwim, Yukon, Norton Sound, and Kotzebue also are way behind historical levels. Coho landings also were trending below normal, with the harvest so far of 225,000 fish. In most years, at least 1 million silvers have been taken by now. Chinook landings of 165,000 also are behind the 2019 pace, although Southeast is ahead of last year. The weekly salmon updates are compiled by the McDowell Group for the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute. Find links at alaskafishradio.com. Fish Radio is also brought to you by Ocean Beauty Seafoods. In Kodiak, I'm Lainey Welch.
Fish Radio is supported in part by Joy Crafts, specializing in marine safety equipment. U.S. Coast Guard approved AMC instruction for commercial fishing vessel safety procedures and drills. Serving Kodiak for over 25 years. 486-6293 at 445 Shahafka Circle.
This is the Island Messenger, a look at personal messages, the weather, and community announcements.
All right, welcome to the Island Messenger. We have one personal message. Cecilia Lloyd, who might be out on a boat. If you know Cecilia Lloyd, someone's asking her to call home. CC, please phone home, Cecilia Lloyd. All right, let's take a look at the weather right now. It's 64 degrees in Kodiak. Beautiful day, 0% chance of rain. So take advantage of it while you can. A little breezy from the southeast at 10 to 15 miles per hour. Tonight in Kodiak, a low of 53, 10% chance of rain. A little bit cloudy. Clouds are going to be building after midnight. South wind, 10 to 15 miles per hour. And tomorrow in Kodiak, high of 59, 10% chance of rain. Clouds are moving in, but probably not a lot of rain, but pretty windy. Gusts of over 40 miles an hour from the southeast. If you're heading up to the mainland, let's see, Homer, it's 64 degrees, sunny skies. They'll get up to about 66. Tonight, a low of 52 as the clouds move in just a tad. And tomorrow, a high of 65 in Homer, wind southeast, 10 to 15 miles per hour. And in Anchorage, it's 71 degrees. They're looking at a high of 75, plentiful sunshine, winds 10 to 15 miles per hour from the west. Tonight, a low of 55 in Anchorage, 10% chance of rain, winds shifting to the southwest and then to the east at 10 to 15 miles per hour. And tomorrow in Anchorage, high of 73, sunshine with a little bit of clouds, it looks like. West-northwest winds shifting to the south at 10 to 20 miles per hour. Well, today is Wednesday. It's hump day, 29th of July. The sun rose exactly at 6 o'clock a.m. this morning and will set tonight at 10:31 p.m., giving us roughly 16 hours and 31 or 32 minutes of daylight. We will have lost 4 minutes and 7 seconds of daylight, but the good news is that the sun is going to rise tomorrow at 6:02 a.m. Record high was 74 in 1938 and in 1999, and record low was 43 in 1937 and in 1978. If you're heading out onto the water, the high pressure is lingering over the Gulf and the Kodiak Island waters through tomorrow morning. And then we've got a front that's going to stall near Kodiak Island and kind of persist through Friday morning. For west of the Barren Islands, including Kamishak Bay, there's a small craft advisory tonight and Thursday. Right now, a west wind of 20 knots, becoming southeast of 15 knots in the afternoon with seas at 5 feet. Tonight, southeast wind of 25 knots with seas at 9 feet. And tomorrow, southeast wind of 25 knots with seas at 9 feet. For the Barren Islands east right now, it's beautiful. West wind of 20 knots in the morning, becoming variable of 10 knots with seas at 4 feet. Marmot Island to Sitkanak, west wind of 15 knots right now with seas at 4 feet. For Chiniak Bay today, variable wind of less than 10 knots, becoming east of 10 knots in the afternoon with seas at 3 feet. Tonight, southeast wind of 10 knots with seas at 3 feet. And tomorrow, south wind of 15 knots with seas at 4 feet. For Marmot Bay right now, west wind of 10 knots, becoming south in the afternoon with seas at 3 feet. And for the Shelikof Strait today, southwest wind of 20 knots with seas at 5 feet. Let's check out the tide table. We got a low tide in the Kodiak District coming up at 3:43 p.m. of 2.57 feet. And then a high tide tonight at 10:22 p.m. of 8.77 feet. Over on the west side, Neganic Bay, low tide at 4:39 p.m. of 4.15 feet. And a high tide tonight at 10:50 p.m. of 13.86 feet. All right, let's play. We have a new message from the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
Hello, this is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game in Kodiak with Kodiak Commercial Salmon Fishery Advisory Announcement number 12. Date issued 10 a.m. on July 28th. There will be a 24-hour extension to the current commercial salmon fishing period from 9 p.m. Wednesday, July 29th to 9 p.m. Thursday, July 30th in the following areas. In the Outer Iakulik and Halibut Bay sections of the Southwest Kodiak District, the Cape Alitak, Humpy Dead Man, Alitak Bay, Mosier Bay, and Olga Bay sections of the Alitak District. Closed waters are increased until 9 p.m. Thursday, July 30th, in Dead Man Bay of the Humpy Dead Man section of the Alitak District to all waters of Dead Man Bay in the Humpy Dead Man section north of a latitude of Cape Hepburn, 56 degrees, 57.5 north latitude. There will be a 33-hour commercial salmon fishing period from noon Wednesday, July 29th to 9 p.m. Thursday, July 30th in the following areas. In the southeast of Fog Neck, Raspberry Strait, northwest of Fog Neck, Shuyak Island, Paul's Bay, Paranosa Bay, and northeast of Fog Neck sections of the Fog Neck District. The seaward zones of the northwest of Fog Neck and Shuyak Island sections of the Fog Neck District remain closed to commercial salmon fishing. The Inner Katoy Bay, Outer Katoy Bay, and Iziut Bay sections of the Fog Neck District will be extended from 9 p.m. Thursday, July 30th, until further notice. Closed waters are increased from 9 p.m. Thursday, July 30th, until further notice to the fishing game markers placed by hatchery staff near Big Katoy Creek, stream number 252324, and to the fishing game markers located at Little Katoy Bay Creek, stream number 252323. As previously announced, the following areas will close at 9 p.m. Wednesday, July 29th. The Big River, Hallow Bay, Outer Kukak Bay, Dakovac Bay, and Katmai sections of the Mainland District, and the Alinchak Bay section of the Mainland District, north of a latitude of Cape Kekernoi, 57 degrees, 43.5 north latitude. The seaward zones of the Alinchak Bay, Katmai, Dakovac Bay, Outer Kukak Bay, Hallow Bay, and Big River sections of the Mainland District remain closed to commercial salmon fishing. The following areas are currently scheduled to close at 9 p.m. Thursday, July 30th. The Sturgeon, Inner Karlik, Outer Karlik sections of the Southwest Kodiak District, the Northwest Kodiak District, except for the Anton Larson Bay, Sheratine Bay, Kajuyak Bay, Zachar Bay, Spearden Bay, and Uyak Bay sections already remain closed, and the Southwest Fog Neck and Duck Bay sections of the Fog Neck District. Closed waters are reduced until 9 p.m. Thursday, July 30th in the following areas: to Karlik Lagoons exit channel terminus at the ocean shoreline and to Sturgeon Lagoons exit channel terminus at the ocean shoreline. As previously announced, the following areas remain open until further notice: the Spearden Bay Special Harvest Area or Telrod Cove. And until further notice, in that portion of the northwest and southwest Kodiak District south of latitude of Cape Kuliak, king salmon 28 inches or greater in length may not be retained by purse seine gear in the commercial fishery and must be returned to the water unharmed. Other closed waters are shown in the Kodiak Area Salmon Statistical Chart and detailed in commercial salmon fishing regulations and statistical charts. Harvest strategies and commercial salmon fishing regulations are available at the Kodiak Fishing Game office. And, of course, the most recent salmon fishery information may be obtained by calling the department's 24-hour recordophone at 486-4559. Thank you very much. Good luck fishing. This is the Alaska Department of Fish and Game.
All right. I think we have some time for some community announcements on the community bulletin board. Well, there's 1 week left to submit your photos to Kodiak's annual Pet Idol Photo Contest. The contest ends this Friday, the 31st. So we encourage those with cute photos to submit their photos to kodiak.petidol@gmail.com. Winning pets will be featured in next year's Pet Idol calendar. This is an annual fundraiser for the Kodiak Animal Shelter and the Humane Society of Kodiak. Please see all the details for the contest on the Kodiak Animal Shelter website or contact the shelter at 486-8077. And starting today, Kodiak High School tennis team practice starts at 4 p.m. over at Baranoff Park Tennis Courts. The season runs from the 29th of July to the 10th of October, so practice will be Monday through Friday for 2 to 3 hours a day. Those interested should contact Coach Steve Johnson at 654-7014 or email him at sfjohnston@hotmail.com. And the Alaska Aerospace Corporation will be conducting rocket launch operations at Narrow Cape in the coming weeks. The launch window starts at 6 p.m. local time, August 2nd through August 7th. The following restrictions are coordinated with the Alaska Department of Transportation and Public Facilities and the Alaska Department of Natural Resources, and they will be enforced to ensure public safety. So watch out for roadblocks on Passagshack Road. They'll be blocked on launch day immediately east of mile 13th. And the Passagshack roadblock will be manned prior to the opening of the launch window. It will initially function as a checkpoint for all traffic authorized to proceed past the roadblock. There will be an electronic sign in Bell's Flats on the Chiniac Highway with information regarding road closures at the Pacific Seaport complex. And contact information, the ground safety officer is Paul Pena, 907-942-4485, or you can contact Robert Green, spaceport manager, 907-229-2007. All right, stay tuned for The Bunker.
Listen for the Island Messenger here on Public Radio KMXT two times a day, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. and during the midday report at 12:20. If you have a community announcement or personal message, including lost and found items or pets, you can call KMXT at 486-3181, fax us at 486-2733, or email psa@kmxt.org.